Prediction time, guys. The Springboks are about to begin their end-of-year tour, or Autumn Internationals, as they called it in the Northern Hemisphere. And in this video, you are going to get the ultimate preview to the Springboks tests against Scotland, England, and Wales. Let's get started. So first off, South Africa is aiming for the first time since 2013 to win all three of their test matches on the end of year tour. Can you believe it's been 11 years since the Boks last did that? I personally think we are going to do it. And if you look at what happened in the Rugby Championship and even the test matches before that earlier in the year, I think the message has been very clear from Rassie Erasmus. The Springboks are the Rugby World Champions and they want to exert dominance on their opponents in every test match going forward. One of the criticisms of the Boks in the last decades really has been that even though we have won World Cups in between the tournaments, we haven't necessarily dominated. If you think of it, after 1995 we were excellent in 1998 and the latter end of 97, but maybe in between that there wasn't much to get overly excited about. After we won the World Cup in 2007, we were magnificent in 09, but maybe not in the other years. And then after we won the tournament in 2019, we didn't win a rugby championship in between. We had some good results, make no mistake, but we didn't really show the world why we were the world champions. And I think that that was one of the big things this year. And yes, we were very successful winning the rugby championship. And the only sort of blips on the record for the Boks this year, you would say, would be those 1-point defeats to Ireland in Durban and then to Argentina in Santiago del Estero. Disappointing, but only 1-point defeats. We beat the All Blacks both times in the Rugby Championship. We also beat Australia twice in Australia. We haven't done that in a very, very long time. So that was really good to see. So as I say, the last time we won all three test matches on an end-of-year tour was 2013. Now, we did play the Scots, English and Welsh in 2021, but we were beaten by England. But in 2008, we also faced these three foes and it went well for us. Peter de Villiers' men winning all three tests. We beat Wales 2015 in Cardiff. We beat Scotland 14-10 in Edinburgh. And then we hammered the Poms in London at Twickenham 42-6. Now, personally, I think that we are very well positioned to win all three tests this time round. Sure enough, Scotland are better than what they were a couple of years ago, it has to be said. But I fully expect us to beat them. Let's take a look at what the Scots have done in 2024. In the Six Nations, they were actually pretty good. A narrow defeat to Ireland at the Aviva Stadium. You can't call that a disgrace. Then there was a narrow defeat to Italy in Italy. And that would be a disappointing result, I would say, for Scotland. Having said that, the Italians are a team that are much better. You could say that they are now the strongest that they have been in the professional era. I would actually go that far. Then there was the beautiful win over England at Murrayfield. Scotland just really know how to get themselves up against the English, don't they? And then a narrow defeat at home against France. They would have been disappointed by that, especially pushing the French so close. And then they overcame Wales in a very, very narrow victory in Cardiff. So that was in the Six Nations. You would say that narrow defeats, narrow victories, they were there or thereabouts. Probably not one of the best teams in the Six Nations, but certainly not the worst team in the competition, which you may have said about them even as little as 5 years ago. So that's what happened in the Six Nations. And then in July, they visited four countries in the Americas. Let's take a look and see what they did there. A good win over Uruguay. They then hammered Chile. They hammered the United States and they annihilated Canada. It's difficult to judge because the reality is that they didn't actually play what you would call their first 15 or first match day 23 in those four test matches. Yes, there were some players who played here and there. You think of a player like Duan van der Merwe. He was on that tour. But difficult to judge because you would expect Scotland, even with a second string or sort of second string side, to beat the likes of Uruguay, Chile, Canada and the United States of America. And I say that with all due respect. South Africa also boasts an excellent record against Scotland, played 24-1-20. And these are our last five results against the Scots. 18-3 at the Rugby World Cup in Marseille last year. 30-15 at Murrayfield in 2021. 3 years before that, 26-20 to the Springboks. And before that, it was the Rugby World Cup in 2015. We smashed them 34-16. And then we really gave them a hiding of note in 2014. 55-6. As mentioned, they have beaten us four times in their history. The most recent of those was in 2010. You may remember we had beaten Wales the week before, and then there was a scandal involving a drug called methylhexemamine. I don't even know if I've pronounced that correctly, but surely enough, the Scots beating us 21-17. And then the joke, of course, coming out of that was, now we know how the Springboks perform without methylhexemamine. But whatever, that was probably something that originated out of the British Isles. So how about England? I think, personally, they will be our most difficult opponent on this end-of-year tour. Historically, that is something that you would certainly go with. I think that they are better than Scotland and comfortably better than Wales right now. But how have the English performed in 2024? In the Six Nations, they started off with a narrow win in Italy. Again, the Italians are the best they've been in the pro era, so that was actually a pretty good win for England away from home. Then they narrowly overcame Wales, who are quite woeful right now, that defeat to Scotland that we mentioned earlier, and then a really good win at home over Ireland, and a narrow defeat against France. You could say that England had the potential to even win this Six Nations. Yes, they lost to Scotland. There's always niggle there, and it's one of those that you can never really go on form. It just is a fixture where even when Scotland are bad, they somehow are able to G themselves up and beat the English. It happens. It really does. That narrow defeat in France, you turn that around and all of a sudden England really could have won the Six Nations, and they showed their mettle in July. Have a look at this. Hammering Japan, as you would expect, and then losing 16-15 to New Zealand. That is a match that they should have won. And then they were beaten 24-17 in the second test. Again, they had their chances to win there. It is worth pointing out that England, even though they lost those two tests to the All Blacks, they could have won both of them. And I would say they certainly should have won at least one, probably the first test match, you would say. But I do think that what is going to happen is Russie Erasmus is going to play what he thinks is his best match day 23 at Twickenham. I think we're going to see a bit of a hybrid team take on Scotland. And then I think the guys who are less experienced, or maybe the youngsters in the setup, maybe some different combinations that he's hoping to test out. That is what you are going to see against the Welsh in Cardiff. Now, something else, just before I show you the records, why is it that England was so good against New Zealand, even so good against France, but specifically the All Blacks, and they couldn't actually get the job done? Guys, I'll tell you what my opinion, I think it comes down to mental toughness. And it is my opinion that we often see teams like England in the past, Ireland, sometimes Wales, sometimes Scotland, where we see them push the likes of New Zealand and South Africa for 60 minutes, 70 minutes. They are leading. They've been dominant the whole match, and then they end up losing. Now, why is that? I believe it is a mental deficiency. If you ask me, they lack self-belief. They don't truly believe that they are good enough to beat New Zealand or South Africa. And then what happens is, even though they're leading after 60 or 70 minutes, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and they ultimately end up losing. Now, obviously, that's not true of every England team or every Ireland team. But I do think that it is true of this particular group that we are seeing right now. And that is the thing that can only be overcome by improving performances, and as a result of that, improving results. So if they can actually get a win over South Africa, New Zealand at some stage, that will then give them the self-confidence and the belief that they can actually do it. The problem that you often have with these sort of scenarios, and I've been told this by a sports psychologist actually, is that even if you do it once, the players themselves then think, okay, great, we did it, but there may have been an element of luck about it. So they actually need to do it twice in a row. And for the best example of that, you would look to Clive Woodward's England team, who routinely beat South Africa, New Zealand, and Australia in those days. So again, England, probably push South Africa for 60, 70 minutes, and then ultimately we end up winning the match. We've seen it so many times. I think it'll happen at Twickenham on this occasion, and not that I am complaining, of course. Now let's take a look at England's record against South Africa overall. Over the years, we've played them 42 times. We have won 25 of those. They've won 16. So we have been dominant. And then this is the last five test matches between the two countries. South Africa beating them 16-15 at the Rugby World Cup last year in the semi-finals. 27-13, a comfortable win over them the year before. But the year before that, they won 27-26. There was that last minute penalty, you might remember. The meeting before that came 2 years earlier when we hammered them 32-12 in that Rugby World Cup final, memorably in Yokohama. But they won the match before that 1 year earlier, 12-11. You might remember that was the Owen Farrell tackle incident. And bounced back at least a year later to give them a good hiding in that Rugby World Cup final, 32-12. But what happens when the two teams play each other at Twickenham specifically? Take a look at this. Now, before 1992, South Africa dominated the exchanges between the two countries at Twickenham, 4-1 in five meetings. Quite incredible that we toured England for the first time in 1906. And I know that we were isolated mostly in the 70s and 80s, but in all that time we only played them five times at Twickenham. 4-1 to us nevertheless. Since 1992, however, it is the English who lead the exchanges at Twickenham 10-8. And in the last five meetings between the two teams at Twickenham, it's been 3-2 to England. Now, just before we talk about Wales, I want to tell you guys about my brand new book that is out. It's actually the first book that I've written. You can get it right now. There it is. It's called How to Become a Sports Journalist. The goal is that this book will become the number one resource for any aspiring sports journalist. So that could be someone in high school or already at university, or even somebody who's mid-career and feels that they are stuck in a rut. The point of the book is to give you a valuable resource with untapped advice and wisdom that will help you to become a great sports journalist or a better sports journalist. It's available right now on Amazon. You can head on over there by clicking on the link that I'm leaving in the description area below, and your support will be very much appreciated, guys. And maybe now is a good time to talk about the easiest match of the three, certainly in my opinion, that would be against Wales. They had a dismal Six Nations, losing at home to Italy, 24-21. They then got a hiding from France, 45-24. Another hiding from Ireland, 31-7. They were close against England, 16-14. And then they were very close against Scotland, 27-26. And then in July, they visited Australia and it didn't go much better. 36-28, they lost the first test. You could say that was competitive. Maybe 25-16 is also competitive. But the fact remains, they were beaten by a very poor Wallabies team. And before that, they faced us in the Qatar Airways Cup match at Twickenham. And it didn't go well for them there either. There you go. 41-13 goes nicely with our 52-16 hammering of them. About a year previously, that was just before the Rugby World Cup, actually. Now, they have played other matches in that time. They played the Queensland Reds on their tour of Australia, and they also faced the Barbarians last year after the Rugby World Cup. So they won those two matches, but the reality is, for Wales, they haven't won a test match since last year in the Rugby World Cup in the pool stage. That was against Georgia, a good 43-19 win. That was on the 7th of October. They haven't won a test match since then. It's quite embarrassing, actually. And here's their record against South Africa. 37 matches. South Africa have won 29. The Welsh have won 7. All 7 of those have come since 1999, it might be said. And there was one run of results where they went 4 wins out of 5 against South Africa. But since the 2019 Rugby World Cup, there's been very little for them to celebrate outside of a win in Bloemfontein against a, let's be honest, second string Springbok side. But here are the last 5 results between the two teams. South Africa, 2 big wins there. against them in the UK. The 41-13 was at Twickenham, 52-16 in Cardiff. We beat them 30-14. That was in South Africa when they came here for a three-test series in 2022. There's that middle one, the 13-12 defeat in Bloemfontein. Could very easily have gone the other way. That was a very inexperienced box side. And the week before that, we beat them 32-29. It was Damien Willemser with that last-minute penalty to win it for us at Loftus. Glad that it happened, of course. But the reality is, I'm sorry to say it, but Wales are the weakest of the three teams that we're going to face on this end-of-year tour. And I expect us fully to beat them. I also think we'll beat Scotland and England. And I'm expecting us to win all three of these test matches on this end-of-year tour.